The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When the Holy Spirit came into my life, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, all of those things were no longer satisfying. It was like a switch that clicked. And so not knowing what that was, what I did, what most people do, I tried to do more. Scales didn't fall from my eyes and I was just like a new saint. I actually went even further away trying to understand what happened.
Years later, Andrew Carter went from prisoner to pastor. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you love to pray?
Not probably like I should.
I know. I kind of feel the same. Like, do we look at prayer as a privilege, or do we look at it as an obligation? And maybe we need to start looking at it a little bit differently. I mean, it really should be looked at as a privilege. And we have a guest with us today, Randy. He's amazing. He's got an incredible backstory, which I want him to tap into a little bit with us, because I think getting to the place of understanding in his life where prayer became a privilege is a big deal. Yeah. And it might help some people today.
I think it depends on how you define it, right?
Probably, yeah.
Because, I mean, pray without ceasing doesn't work if prayer is this really formal kind of religious thing.
No, totally.
And that's where I think I struggle. So this will be good.
This will be good. Well, I want to welcome Pastor Andrew Carter with us. He's got a brand new book out, The Privilege of Prayer, Find Healing, Transformation, and Answers. I want answers today, Pastor. So bring on the answers. But before we start with that, can you just give us a little backstory about you and your life? And, you know, like, I want to know, did you grow up in the church? Were you raised in the church? I kind of have a feeling based on your book.
Not
I know
hardly.
The answer, but people might not know.
Right. Yeah. So first off, thanks for having me. But I'm a pastor of a church in Inglewood, California, and I did not grow up in church. I did not know the name of Jesus until I was 17 years old. The name of Jesus was about as real to me as the Easter Bunny or even Santa Claus. Very non-religious home. A home where drugs and alcohol and sex were permissive. Like, they were allowed in the house. There wasn't any restrictions. It was kind of a free-for-all. That's the way that I grew up, yeah.
What did that do to you? Like, where did that lead? It didn't lead to the church.
No. A life like that led to a lot of destructive behaviors, a lot of poor choices, defense mechanisms as a young man that I carried with me into adulthood that didn't serve me. And so because of a lot of those bad behaviors and defense mechanisms, I got myself in trouble. I wound up in jail, been to prison, got into a lot of issues, relationship problems as well.
Where did God come into that?
Man, God came in multiple times. Looking back at my life, I could see where God intervened and showed himself. But initially, it was 17 years old is when I first gave my life to Jesus. But the thing about that is things didn't change. I didn't get saved and then jump into a church or get good mentorship or discipleship. I went back to the same destructive home that I was a part of. And so I was introduced to Jesus and then spent the next decade trying to unwrap what it looks like to have a relationship with him.
When you started that relationship with Jesus, were you still doing the same things, even though you came to Christ at 17? And how did that change through the 10 years, that decade for you? Did it take a while for you to finally go, wait a second, this doesn't feel right anymore. These decisions don't feel right anymore because Jesus is in my life. And I think I need to make some different decisions.
Yeah. Immediately, nothing was the same. So the night that I gave my life to Jesus, I went back home. And if I'm just being honest with you guys, I was smoking weed in those days. And so I went back home and tried to smoke. And immediately I felt paranoid. It didn't feel the same. And so when the Holy Spirit came into my life, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, all of those things were no longer satisfying. It was like a switch that clicked. And so not knowing what that was, what I did, what most people do, I tried to do more. So I tried to smoke more to get rid of that feeling of conviction. I tried to drink more to black out. So I would try to ignore that. I would try to sleep with more women in order to get that feeling that I once had before meeting Jesus. So the opposite happened. The scales didn't fall from my eyes and I was just like a new saint. I actually went even further away trying to understand what happened.
Did you hit rock bottom?
Eventually, yeah, yeah.
And what happened at the bottom?
Well, at the bottom, a lot of hardness of heart. Hitting rock bottom actually made me resent God. I didn't think that I should be at rock bottom. I was like, I didn't choose to be here. This all kind of happened it was just like by accident, really. And so I was frustrated. My heart was hardened. And I ran further away from God, even at the rock bottom. Like, what am I doing here? Like, who is this God guy? And why is he messing up my life?
You're a hard case, man.
Yes.
So what was the breakthrough? What happened to turn all that around?
So the breakthrough was, there was a season in life when I was going to church. So about 23 years old, I just got out of jail, and I found myself in a real solid Bible-believing church. And the goal of this church was to plant churches. So I got into an intensive, like, pastor discipleship program where they were just preparing me to eventually be a leader and to be a pastor. After a couple of years in that church, they gave me a prophetic word and spoke this over my life, and I didn't like it. They said that I would be called to ministry, that I had words of gold, and that I'd speak to millions of people about Jesus. And when they told me that, I was mad. I was upset because I didn't want to be a pastor.
All right,
I didn't want to be a leader. I didn't have words of gold. At the time, I was building manufactured homes. I was like working in a factory. And so when I got that word, I left church completely, just went off on my own. And I did so for over 10 years, building a business, going back to school. I actually started to succeed according to the eyes of the world. So I was racking up achievements, accolades, and awards. Unfortunately, some of those defense mechanisms I told you guys about were never healed. I never got counseling. I never got the help that I needed, and I ended up in prison. So away from church, on my own, succeeding, still ended up in prison. And it was after prison that this prophetic word actually came to fruition. I watched it unfold in my life.
You know, if you told me that a giant fish came and swallowed you up and then spit you back at the front door of this church, I'd believe it by now.
Right.
Because I mean, like, you, this is a pattern of knowing something but running from something. Yeah. And at some point, I mean, something's got to give.
Yeah.
When was your okay, I surrender all?
Yeah.
Moment. Was there one?
There
or was.
Was
a process?
There was a moment. It was a road to Damascus moment where my eyes were blinded, and then the scales eventually fell off. I encountered the Holy Spirit in Jesus, and it was through social media. I had a TikTok account in 2019, so not even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was there posting things, trying to build up my following. At the time, I was in fitness. So I was doing like a fitness account, trying to get people inspired physically, not knowing that I would do that for the spirit down the road. But I posted a video, and it was a 15-second video. I didn't say a word during this video. I pointed at boxes, and the boxes said things God's carried me through. And it said, and not in this order, foster care, prison, divorce, and everything else, something to that effect. That video went viral. I went to bed with 200 followers. The next morning, over 15,000 just went crazy.
Wow.
And the Holy Spirit moment that was the confirmation was, I was going through the messages, and a guy reached out and he said, Andrew, I've been to prison, I've been divorced, I've been to foster care. And he said, and last night I was going to take my life. He's like, but I seen that God carried you through those things, and if he can do it for you, he can do it for me. And in that moment, I was overwhelmed with emotion. I started weeping, and I felt the confirmation of the Holy Spirit saying, you were made for a time such as this. And this is the vehicle that will have that prophetic word come to fruition.
Wow.
So now we speak to millions of people, I've got words of gold, and I'm in ministry, pastoring a church in Inglewood, California.
Incredible. Like, okay, so you put just my mind here. You pointed a bunch of things. I'm gonna start doing that.
Yeah.
Was it like the next day? Like, obviously, I think the same where when we're reading the responses of people, what a gift that is to us.
Yeah.
It's confirmation to me that God is saying, you, Andrew, are right where you're supposed to be. So did you just, from that moment, that next day, like, I'm making the call, I'm going into ministry, and did you just jump all in at that point when God confirmed to you, I am going to use your life, and it starts today, Andrew. Do you want to go for the long haul, or do you not? Like, we're all in, or we're all out. Like, did you know at that point, like, I am all in, and I'm jumping in right now. What did that look like at that moment?
Absolutely not. I'm a hard-headed guy.
Oh my gosh, not even then.
No. I mean, from my story, you can see the pattern is I was convinced, and I started leaning that direction. direction, but everything was just real gentle steps. Like, I was like, this is great. Okay, now I've got all this influence. Let me do some more workout videos. And so I wasn't ready to like quite let go of where I was at. And it took some refining. It just took some time. So for the next 6 months or so, God was cleaning up my life. He was cleaning up my act. Even though it was a Christian video that went viral, my life didn't really reflect Christ in that moment. Mm. I was reading my Bible. I was going to church occasionally. But my faith was kind of, it was small. It was almost dead. It was being revived. And it was a process over the months of it being revived and coming back to life.
And you know, I just for anybody watching, if you see something online or you hear something from somebody and then you see some lack of spiritual maturity, don't condemn them. Mm-hmm. Pray for them. Because one of the things you talk about in your book, Andrew, in The Privilege of Prayer, is the transformation that takes place when we make prayer that regular part of our lives. And that's what you needed, right? Yeah. That's what we all need. It's an ongoing thing. We don't have a testimony where I was transformed for 3 months back in 19, whatever, you know? Yeah. This is an ongoing thing. When you look at prayer in your life today, how has that transformed you since you started that slow walk towards full surrender and obedience?
Yeah, prayer has completely transformed my life because I have a better understanding of who I am because I talk daily to the one who made me.
Wow.
So I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do and where I'm supposed to be because I'm getting my marching orders directly from the source rather than the different outlets of social media, entertainment, news, outside opinions and other voices. Prayer has transformed who I am because I am in relationship with the Creator of all things.
Wow.
And why is it important then to stay consistent in our prayer? A lot of times people look at prayer as like that crisis. When I'm in a crisis, now I pray. But why is it important that we stay consistent in our prayer life?
Yeah, because we need them on both the good days and the bad. Sometimes we only, and I call it the same thing, crisis faith. You're knocking on the door when things aren't going well. Yeah. But I think that if we talk to them on the good days, we might not find ourselves in as many bad positions as we do. So sometimes we find ourselves in crisis because we weren't connected to him in the first place.
Sure.
So I find that it's important to stay consistent, stay connected, good days and bad. And again, I find myself in less situations where I'm crying out in crises, asking him to fix something that I messed up because I've been walking with him the entire time.
Yeah. 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 And it's okay. If you're in a crisis, reach out. If you want to talk to somebody on the phone that'll pray with you, we got a telephone number. You can call somebody and it won't be Andrew, but somebody who loves Jesus, who talks to him every day, will pray you through that crisis, but also into that life where it's not the one-time thing. It's a daily thing. And as Andrew says, it is a privilege. And I like the way you use that word in the title, because religion will tell you it's a duty. You know, life will tell you that it's a last resort, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a privilege. Explain what that means to you, because I love the truth in that.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Religion would have us think that it's a burden, like it's an obligation that we have to every day, and this isn't a knock on somebody's routine, that you have to get on your knees, fold your hands, close your eyes, and recite the same thing over and over. But the truth of the matter is that prayer is open, honest, vulnerable, and transparent communication with God. I pray when I'm driving. I pray when I'm in the shower. I prayed before I came up here. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm constantly staying connected. And that is a privilege to experience the fullness of life. I believe that we need to do so in the order that God created us to do so. He created us with the original design to be intimately related to him and to be in communion. And so prayer is that vehicle to make that happen.
Yeah, I think part of the beauty of it is when you understand the freedom of it and what it really does, then you can go back to liturgy or back to some of the things that are more tradition because they provide another thing that you say is important, which is discipline. Because there is sometimes the discipline aspect of I'm going to stop my day. Mm-hmm. It's busy, but you know what? I'm going to make time. If I can make time to watch TV, to watch a basketball game, right?
Yeah.
I can make time for prayer.
That's right.
How has discipline transformed not only your prayer life, but your whole life?
Oh, discipline and consistency go hand in hand. Yeah. Discipline is really me saying that I'm going to do something even if I don't feel like it. And that's the thing, is I don't always feel like reading my Bible. I don't always feel like stopping what I'm doing and getting into prayer, but I know that it's important. And so showing up to the commitments that I make to myself really empowers me, it emboldens me, it gives me confidence, and it really reinvigorates my relationship with God.
But do you ever struggle to live out your daily life, like your own book? Do you ever struggle with prayer? And what do you do? And what would you say to people that do struggle with praying? Like, what's something we can do practical every day, you know, that those of us that struggle with prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be a liar to say that I didn't struggle. There's times where I might go through something that I'm like, why am I going through this? I've done the prayer, yes. I've done the devotion, I've read the books, I'm living a life that's filled with integrity, I'm living the same in public as I am in private. Why am I still going through these things?
And it's not working.
And it's
people
not
think,
working.
God, it's not working. Yeah. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah. The fact of the matter is you're not doing anything wrong, is that nobody is immune to the issues, obstacles, and trials that come with life. And somebody watching this might be experiencing grief or hurt or heartbreak, financial issues, health stuff. That's a part of life. So it's not necessarily that you're doing something wrong. What helps me get through that is exactly what Randy said, is the discipline, is I show up even when I don't want to.
Yes.
I know that prayer and devotion are going to help me. It's just like the gym, right? I don't always want to go to the gym. I don't always want to eat healthy, but I know if I do so, it's this mathematical equation. Consistency plus discipline equals results. And that goes for your finances, that goes for your spiritual health, your emotional health, every aspect of your life. So even when I don't feel like it, I show up in prayer, I show up in devotion, and I know that God's going to get a hold of me no matter where I'm at.
It's good. It's so true.
Yeah. Who is this Jim guy he's talking
about? Who's Jim?
I don't know him.
Why is Jim so disciplined?
Right. I do have a serious question, though, for you.
Yeah.
When you pray, does God always say yes to your prayers?
Oh, I wish.
Right?
I wish. Yeah.
That's everywhere we go.
Yeah.
But does God always say no?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. So what do we do with the no's that we don't like, or the not yets, or the seeming silence at times? Because I think that's a hard part. That's an obstacle for a lot of people. I prayed about it, nothing happened, or, you know, and then we just give up.
Right. Well, we have to understand that He loves us, and He wants what's best for us. Yeah. And so His no has goodness written all over it. Mm-hmm. So His no could keep us from walking into something that we don't see. His no could protect us. It could redirect us. Mm-hmm. It could keep us from settling for less than what He made us for. So because I know who He is and who I am in His eyes, whether it's a yes, no, or a not yet, I know that it's always best. Mm. I like to use the analogy of, like, I have three kids, and if my son came to me at 11 p.m. and said, Dad, I want some ice cream, you know, can I have some ice cream? I will tell him no, not because I don't love him or because I don't care about him. I'm telling him no because if he has sugar at 11, he's not going to sleep well. He's probably going to have a stomach ache. That means tomorrow he's going to be a little cranky, and there's going to be repercussions to his actions and decisions. So my no isn't because I love him. It's because I don't love him. It's because I love him. And in the same way, we might be asking for things that seem good in the moment, but we don't understand what that's going to come with in the tomorrows.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a hard lesson to learn. We don't like it.
No.
But it's so true. And anybody that's had a prayer life for any length of time, you know, you don't always get what you ask for, but God, whatever God gives us, like Andrew says, is always good. All right, the privilege of prayer. Wonderful. I just love the topic. I love your openness about it, your honesty about it, but the intimacy, the change, the transformation that it can bring, it's a beautiful thing. And I would actually like to ask our audience, if you guys wouldn't mind, pray about something real quick. And if God tells you yes, act on it. If God tells you no or not yet, that's fine too. But take this in prayer, because we have an opportunity right now to actually be the answer to many people's desperate prayers. They're in that crisis moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God will answer it directly. Sometimes I find that He uses His people to walk it out. Watch this and you'll understand.
Water is essential for life. But when there is no choice other than drinking contaminated water, lives are put at risk. It is a known fact that 800 children under the age of 5 die every day from diseases linked to unsafe drinking water, poor sanitation, or poor hygiene.
As you can see, it's very busy here right now. Everybody's coming down. There's jugs lined up everywhere. They're getting water. You'll see them sweep sometimes the water with these big cans, trying to clear off the surface. But the reality is they can't clear away what's underneath. This happens every day, not just in this place, but in places around the world. And though it looks like we have a beautiful lake of water behind us, the reality is it's contaminated water. Children are dying right here in this village because this water, which is their only water supply, carries diseases, waterborne illnesses. You wonder why they're doing it? It's their only choice. If they had a choice to drink water that was clean, uncontaminated, that wouldn't potentially make them sick or kill them, they would make the choice to drink the clean water. Help us give as much clean drinking water to as many people as we can, as many beautiful children. When we give them the choice of clean water, we give them life. I love seeing them dancing under that rig that we had just drilled a well in that one village at the end. But in that earlier spot, you know, Tammy, it's crazy because we drove kind of down the side of the mountain, and you could see this beautiful, looked like a beautiful lake.
Yeah.
But the closer and closer we got, the more we saw, man, this is not good.
Mm-mm.
In fact, what's here will kill them. And in so many cases, we found out by talking to mothers that they had lost many, many children. And so you go, okay, well, even in the places where we think they have drinking water, what do we do? Well, the answer is water for life. It's drinking water that is not contaminated by going down into God's earth and pulling up what He has given and blessing people with it. Here's the breakdown, just so you know what it looks like. As we go into about 20 nations around the world, we hope to reach our goal of 350 wells this year, maybe exceed it, I'm praying. The breakdown is that the average well costs $4,800, and there's some variation in there depending on the terrain, depending on how remote it is, depending on how far we have to drill down into the earth. But the average cost for the program is $4,800. That means $4,800 will provide, on average, one well, which on average will serve about 1,000 people for about 70 years. Now, for most people, that's a lifetime. That's why we say it's water for life. Now, many of you are not in a position to be able to provide one well, but you can join others. Your gift of $144 today will help give water for life to 30 people. Most of you could give $48 to help provide water for life for 10 people. Here's what you need to know. Every single child, even the men and the women that are there at that contaminated water source, they're at risk. They need an answer to a prayer, and you are that answer. And that's why, Tammy, I think it's critical that we just do what we can when we all work together.
Absolutely.
We can change it.
Randy, I couldn't have said it any better than that. I mean, you laid it out. We always lay it out. Here it is. We present it to you and tell you this is the need and this is what we need and how we need to help meet this need for these people. That would change everything for them. I love how you talked about the celebration, the dancing. I've been there in Burundi as well, and I've danced with the people. But it'd be incredible to go back into that village and put a well in for those incredible families, for those children, and to dance with them. Mm. That's what my goal is. That's what my hope is. That's what my dream is. That's what my prayer is. And I'm asking you, we are asking you today, would you come alongside us?
Yeah.
Would you come alongside us today? And let's get it done. Go online, make that call, give the best gift you can today, and let's make a difference in the lives of so many people all around the world.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Daughter, written by James and Betty's granddaughter, Lainey Renee. This insightful book invites all girls and women to walk in the freedom of their God-given identity and embrace who they really are. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Great is the Lord decorative blanket, featuring the words of Psalm 145:3. This beautiful blanket is perfect for comfort in cold weather and a reminder of your help with Water for Life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well and request our new bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water, inspired by Jesus' words in Mark 9:41. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly can give. What an incredible opportunity we've been given to help so many people right now today. Randy, what a great day it's been.
Yeah, and you know, if you want Andrew's book, The Privilege of Prayer, just request it when you make any gift towards Water for Life. Mm. Andrew, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
For the person who's watched this and they're thinking, maybe like some have said, you know, if God could do it for him, he could do it for me. What's your prayer for that person?
Oh, I just pray that they would believe and trust that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. I would encourage them to lean into the pain that they've experienced. The story that I shared with you guys was acquainted with pain, and I believe that the pain that we go through gives us a platform to minister and to share to others. So trust God. He has a plan. Lean into the pain.
Yes, he does. Amen. I hope you're encouraged today. We will see you again next time on Life Today.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience.
You have brain cancer, and it's terminal. There is no cure.
A truly awe-inspiring testimony of courage and faith. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.